a few days ago, a little over a week ago, our nation kind of paused and remembered a day that will probably none of us will ever forget. I imagine you guys are like me, and maybe you remember what you were up to, what you were doing when you heard about the attacks at September 11th on the World Trade Center. I was sitting in my sophomore year of high school, I think, in or maybe my freshman year, in a geometry class or some sort of metry class. It left an impression, and of course, it should. 3,000 people senselessly, needlessly lost their lives. That was in 2001. But the part of the part of that story that maybe you haven't heard, maybe you have, but doesn't seem nearly as prominent, is what else happened on that day. So the Twin Towers collapsed. But when they collapsed, they trapped hundreds of thousands of people that lived and worked on the island of Manhattan. Hundreds of thousands of people that were scared, confused, and desperate to escape. People that were seeking refuge even before the building collapsed, but when they came down and blanketed the entire region in a thick plume of dust and debris, panic set in, and they were stuck. They could not get off of the island because of all the location of where the collapse had happened. So 500,000 people standing along the shoreline of Manhattan were screaming for help. At the onset of the saga, there was a small boat at the lower tip of Manhattan, and witnesses thought that that boat would flip over because there were so many people trying to get on it. And behind those people was just a massive crowd. Taking this all in, and knowing there was only one way to accomplish what needed to be done, the United States Coast Guard put out a call on the radio. All available boats, this is the United States Coast Guard aboard the pilot boat New York. Anyone wanting to help with the evacuation of Lower Manhattan, please report to Governor's Island. Putting the call over the radio, they were unsure of who would respond. But 15 to 20 minutes later, they had their answer. All across the horizon, waves turned into dots, turned into flag masts and engine stacks, turned into boats. Lots and lots of boats. Hundreds of targets on the radar converging on the lower part of Manhattan. Ferries, private boats, party boats, tugboats, anything that could float was headed that way. All of them were leaving the sun-bathed harbor behind them, full speed ahead into the thick cloud of dust and smoke. They dropped what they were doing and answered the call. They didn't radio back. Will I be paid? Who's going to pay for my fuel? Can you guarantee I will make it back in time for my shift to be up? Will there be sandwiches? Duty called. People needed saving, and nothing else mattered. As the late President Ronald Reagan once said, if not us, who? If not now, when? Now, if you look in the dictionary and you find the word atonement, you'll see it is defined as reparation for wrong or injury. That's the typical sense that we hear and use it in. In the biblical context, we understand atonement to be defined as to set as one, to set at one, to join as one, to form by uniting, to cover. In the same sense that all thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs. You can think about that for a second. These two definitions can mean the same thing, but they can also be very different. Certainly in practice or implementation. As the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We must make amends for our transgressions, but the goal is to not transgress in the first place. The focus of this message today is to remind us of that goal as a destination and the path that God lays out for us to follow to get there. Let us forget for a moment the logistics of whether or not any of us will be physically alive in that day. When this day is fulfilled and Satan is bound, will we be willing to drop whatever it is that we are doing and do what God asks of us without hesitation or complaint? Because we know full well that this is the only thing that is important. Or will we make excuses for why we can't? So this then begs the question, are we doing today what God asks us to do today? Without hesitation or complaint, because we know full well that this is the only thing that is important. So the body of this message really is just going to be four scriptures. It's not 4 points, just four scriptures that I'll read. To be honest, nearly all of them are memory scriptures, so it's just kind of a reminder. Four scriptures that tell us what we can do to be at one with God. The first is Mark 16 and verse 15. Christ speaking to the disciples, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The second scripture is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." So pray for others, be considerate for others, beseech God for others. The third is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." The fourth is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good." And I think 1, 2, and 3 illustrate that. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" So this was a brief message, and we're concluding now. There is a documentary that was made about this event. It's called Boatlift. You can find it on YouTube or whatever. It shows the men and women, captains and sailors that were involved in the events. And some of these quotes were, I've just kind of compiled a few quotes from what they said about it. We'll start right off with a double negative. "You couldn't have planned nothing to happen that fast, that quick. No training. This was just people doing what they had to do that day." Another quote, "It was average people that stepped up when they needed to." Another quote, "I feel honored that I was part of it." Another quote, "It was the greatest thing I ever did with my life." The great boat lift of 9/11 became the largest sea evacuation in history. It's greater than the evacuation of Dunkirk in World War II, where 339,000 British and French soldiers were evacuated over the course of 9 days. On 9/11, nearly 500,000 civilians were rescued from Manhattan by boat in less than 9 hours. There are currently about 8 billion souls that live and breathe on the earth today that need rescue, and billions more that have lived and died. One day, as part of the string of events that is enshrined in these holy days that we observe every year, the call will come over the radio, all available boats, anyone that wants to help with the evacuation of all of God's children, please report for duty. But the real plot twist is he's calling right now.